It's time for episode 16 of That Time I Got Reincarnated in the same world as an anime podcaster, where we discuss all things related to anime and manga. I'm your host, Isekai Sensei Sama, aka Brad, and I'm joined in this weeb cabal by Bento Baggins, aka Ben,
Sashiburi,
and Kermit D. Grog, aka Andrew.
Hi, wait a minute, is that the AI script?
This is half written by an AI.
No!
We're friends who've been watching anime and having conversations about it for a long time. And so we turn those conversations into a podcast. From exploring themes to picking apart the meta, we delve into the many aspects that make anime and manga unique and how they play a part in society. Well, before we get into our discussion today, we've got quite a few news items to go over.
Big news times.
None of which I wrote with an AI.
Thank you.
So That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, season 3 was recently announced. The movie, which is called Scarlet Bond, was in theaters at the end of January. So we expect that to be, on streaming sometime before the new season, which is slated for spring of 2024.
Do you know if that was a canonical movie, as has been recent?
Well, it wasn't in the manga. So
probably,
but I don't read the light novel, so I can't say for certain.
Gotcha.
In more relevant to this podcast news, I mean, I love That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, but we haven't really talked about it a whole lot. But what we have talked about on this podcast is Demon Slayer, which season 3 is coming out very soon, April 9th.
Is it season 3 or is there a movie?
There's the movie actually comes out today, March 3rd.
I've got tickets to go see it.
So wait, then what's season 3? If they're doing the whole Swordsmith Village arc as a movie.
As far as I can tell, because the movie is called To the Swordsmith Village. So okay. I think the movie is just sort of an intermediary before the Swordsmith Village arc.
Okay.
Now, you'd have to tell us what that might actually look like from the manga.
All I remember in the manga is that the Swordsmith Village is hidden, and I feel like they like blindfolded him and took him there, and I don't think it was a very big deal.
Would you call it the village hidden in the leaves?
There's some leaves around.
Anyway, so the movie might actually be filler then. Is that right?
It could be. I don't think you'd get a whole movie.
It'll be really weird if I see it and neither of you two see it if it's canonical.
I wonder if the fact that that movie might be filler might play into our discussion today.
Oh.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, foreshadow, foreshadow.
Oh, see, I'm a bad podcast host. I don't know what the topic is today. So
we kept you in the dark on purpose.
So I'm just sort of like trying to feel my way around as we go through. I figure like anime.
You know that I put these outlining notes out on the Google Drive. Like you can access them.
Yeah, that we don't look at.
Oh, man. If you can talk to Nate about my attention to the schedules.
In additional news, the My Hero Academia second half of season 6 is currently airing. I probably should have talked about that on the last episode, but we only really thought about it recently. So
when we noticed that the episodes kept showing up, even though we're way behind.
So I figured I'd highlight that. We're having conflicting thoughts on My Hero Academia, but we're still watching it. We're checking it out. We might talk about it when it's over. So I'd mentioned on a previous episode that Frieren Beyond Journey's End is getting an anime. And we now have a release time frame. Don't have an exact date. But it's set to premiere in September.
Oh, okay. That's enough of a time frame to be meaningful.
The fall season. I think we said fall before, and that's what we're at. So I'm excited for that.
I will look at it and report back my findings.
I hope it's not generic. That's my one wish.
Agreed.
One last thing here. Mashal, Magic and Muscles.
Speaking of that word, Mashal.
Yeah, so Mashal's a series we've been reading. I think we've brought it up on the podcast a couple times, but not like a full-on dive
into
it.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever manga book clubbed it.
So, you know, maybe we'll do that before it premieres. In April. So maybe that should be in the next episode.
Oh, wow. Okay, geez.
Andrew, I think you had some manga you wanted to news about.
Yes. I'm once again in a situation where I cannot remember the name of it because it's a big Japanese word, and I literally just started reading it yesterday. But at the time of recording, a new manga has dropped all six chapters at once on the Shonen Jump Viz app. Big surprise slaying demon creatures, which, you know, played out. But the characters and the situations going on seem like a good time so far. I don't know how much of this is my opinion being affected by one of the leads is a really cool lady that reminds me of Bayonetta, and there are also beast men in the series, which tickles my furry brain in a nice way. But I think outside of that, I think it's had some cool moments. It has had cool action moments, but also has had nice emotional moments as well. So it definitely has some, I don't know if I'd say inspired by Chainsaw Man, but like you can feel Chainsaw Man's presence within it. So about halfway through the six that are currently out. I'm sure it'll start releasing on a weekly basis after that. But so far, would recommend. They are problem solvers.
Can we expect a new manga review?
Yeah, go check the blog. Hopefully by the time you hear this, I'll have written a little write-up on it.
Awesome.
It is called Goku Rakugai.
Thank you. Do you know what that means, or is it just a name?
I do not know what that means.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might be, I think, where they're located. I'm always extra terrible when it comes to, like, this is the name of a character or a place written in Japanese, and I go, well, it's that one.
All right. One last thing before we dive into this. I got a couple shout-outs here. First, I wanted to give a shout-out to Samich, who commented on the blog. I should have called out last episode, but I missed that one, so sorry. But thanks for leaving a comment out there. Samich is actually the reason I found out that we got a shout-out on the Otome Isekai subreddit.
Oh!
And it was actually Rena who posted on there, but she didn't tell us.
It's a small world.
And we got in contact with the mods there, and we're going to be doing some collaborations with them. So thanks, Samich. I would have missed all that otherwise.
Yeah.
We got another shout out for John, who left us a very nice review on Apple Podcasts. He left it back in January, and I missed it because I don't get alerts from that for some reason, even though it's hooked up to my email. But I was just poking around at stuff, and I saw that there was a review out there. John mentioned that he likes the fact that the podcast feels like hanging out and talking with your friends. So
I'm glad we deliver that.
Yeah.
That's an experience we cultivate.
I strive to be polished, but not too polished as to feel corporate.
Yeah. I also wanted to thank the four other people who rated us on Apple Podcasts, but they didn't leave a review, so I don't have any names or anything. So
were they all 5 stars?
Yes.
I sure hope so.
They're lucky.
But we really appreciate the reviews, even if you don't leave a comment, but we extra special appreciate comments.
We appreciate the written word as spoken wordsmiths.
So we recently finished watching Spy Family, and we had a bit of a conversation that sparked some more thought, and that was revolving around the fact that we weren't sure if there was enough of the manga out at this point that the next season could be made already. And that got us thinking, is Spy Family a good candidate to be able to have filler episodes and not be bad?
I mean, to have the conversation we had then, yes, caveat, which is not an answer that's good. But I think as we get into our bigger conversation of filler and canonicity, Spy Family in particular is a very, like, we're doing this, we're doing that. It tells a lot of stories, and sometimes it's just they're fun and they don't necessarily move anything forward, or at least maybe they don't move it forward in ways we notice. So, like, I do think it's a series that's really good and primed for filler, but I also don't trust people yet who aren't the writer of Spy Family to write that to get it right. Because I could see somebody trying to write Spy Family filler and just not getting it.
You know, there is a point there, though, because when the anime started getting made, the Spy Family chapters dropped off. We only got a couple until the anime was, like, done. And so...
Even before the anime, it was still, like, every 3 weeks they had off.
But so,
if not more than
that. If the mangaka is working closely with the anime team, then, you know, they could very well be writing those episodes. Personally, I think that it would work. I think that, like you said, the way that Spy Family is constructed, you can have a very sitcom kind of episodic nature to it. Because the actual overarching narrative of the whole series doesn't require constant action and moving forward.
Yeah, as long as
you can just slot stuff in and this happened this day.
Or whatever the good alternative of that is, show up.
Stella's,
you're not really moving the ball as we currently know it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's examples where, yeah, it's light fluff, but then there's also examples where you get like a little peek into a character that you wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah.
Like pretty much all the shorts with Damien are really important to building Damien's character. Mm-hmm. And then that comes into play in the main story later where you understand Damien when he goes into situations where he might not otherwise look like the best person.
Or you get more insight and hints into that, even if you don't necessarily get an answer.
So I think you'd have to be really careful with the filler because you don't want to add something to a character that's not there and doesn't come up later.
Right.
That's part of what makes the little Spy Family shorts so rewarding is that he never forgets about them.
Well, and I think there's something to be said about the fact that there are quite a few chapters of the manga that, if you didn't know better, actually feel like filler because they're these short little adventures, self-contained. It's just two or three characters, maybe not even the main characters, doing a thing. There was a bunch of that in the anime. You had a couple episodes of the anime that were like three or four episodes within it because they were these short little, they call them missions, right?
Yeah. Is getting to know somebody filler? Like, what do you... I guess to increase our scope of what this conversation is, what is filler to you?
Filler is forgotten. That's an important aspect of filler for me. If something happens and then never comes back again and winds up ultimately being a little inconsistent with the rest of the story, that's like the curse of filler.
See, I almost feel like you need... I think there's two definitions here where you have like canon filler, almost... where it's not something that drives the story forward, but it's not something to be forgotten.
Well, but I think that does drive the story forward, especially in Spy Family, where it's all about character interactions.
That's what I was going to say. Getting to know people, I don't think is not anything.
So what would you
the
call
internet
it, then?
Has brought to rise the, if this isn't moving, if this isn't very clearly moving the main narrative along, then it's filler, which like, I hate and despise that way
because
of thinking.
My definition of filler is it's not in the source material.
That's a good one for anime. But like especially the things that aren't in the source material tend to have nothing to do with anything and they're boring and they're of a lesser quality.
What I'm getting at is just because filler is normally that doesn't mean all filler is that. And I think Spy Family as a series lends itself to having what I will call filler that is not bad,
it's easy to slot things in that technically don't matter but are still fun. So it's like, oh, we haven't had a Your Assassination missing in a mile. Let's go do one of those because it's just been a while.
Wait, I think it's easy to slot in, but it's also easy to screw up. Especially if you do it without consulting him because he's going to write something in the future.
I mean, that's the problem with like One Piece filler. Actually, no, this is here's the bigger thing. I feel like the problem with filler a lot of the times is that specifically for manga was just such a single authored thing. When somebody else holds the reins on that, it's even more so than just this is not going to be you know, noticed and remembered later, because the guy who's, you know, the person who's writing it isn't writing this, so they're not going to remember it.
Yeah.
Is that it doesn't feel like it fits in, even if it can look like it. Like, that's the thing I feel like I don't know if I would have a sense of with Spy Family, where it's like, this visually looks like it fits, but does it feel that kind of X factor to it, like it fits it because it's not written by the person that's writing this all, you know?
Does it come down to that? Do you say, like, even if it's not in the source material, if it comes from the author of the source material, is it still filler?
Just to clarify your question into something a little bit more bite-sized, is the question, can an author write filler?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, I feel like that depends on your definition of filler.
Yeah.
And I feel like the one that is more, the one that I want to hold to be filler, and the other definition should be a different word, is that filler is, as what Ben said, things that are not remembered.
I wonder if we need a different word. Could we call it filling?
No, that's too... It's just, people call, like, I...
I call that fluff. Like, and by that I mean it's something to be trimmed away. Like, can an author write bad? Yeah. Like, they can write stuff that nobody cares about that doesn't serve the story at all. And that's just bad writing.
See, that's interesting. For whatever reason, when I hear the word fluff, in my head, that is somehow worse than filler.
Really?
I think it is worse than filler.
Filler was such a... filler. Like, that's the thing to me, is like, filler is such a... not a dirty word, but it is a thing that is to be reviled. I remember I was growing up, like, that's the thing. It is the Naruto tea race. But also, like, there is other filler that I can think about that I like. Like, when I think about, unless it was actually in the manga, I don't know, where it's like, oh, Dragon Ball, oh, Piccolo's getting his driver's license, Yamcha's playing baseball. That's the ultimate example. And, like, were those filler, Ben?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I never got to reading Z.
All of Running on Snake Way was filler.
And it's like, those are, I think when you get to spend time, you get to spend fun time with characters you don't really get to spend time with, I feel like in those parts, it's fulfilling filler.
Yeah. I think for me, when I think of the word filler, there's a spectrum to it, which is sort of what I've been saying, is like, you have good filler, and a lot of times it's good because it's from the author, and then you have bad filler, which is what you've been describing as just filler in general, which is, it's not by the author, it doesn't make sense, it introduces concepts that are never brought back, or character development that isn't canon to the series.
So good filler might be the Dragon Ball Z movies or the My Hero movies. Those are things that, like, aren't canon.
I mean, that's where, I mean, then we get into the bigger conversation of canon, because those sort of exist outside.
They do, but anything. they exist to waste time and make money. I mean, they don't move the story forward at all. They're just extra. And I think the problem with filler is filler exists to fill a business need, which is why I do think filler is less of a sin than fluff, because fluff is like the author failing to do their job.
Can you give me a definition of fluff, Ben?
Fluff?
In manga or anime.
Okay.
Did I say definition or example?
You said definition.
I want an example. I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
Okay. An example of fluff might be, to me, I've been reading a lot of One Piece, and I can already tell you, in like the Alabasta arc, I feel like I have encountered a lot of fluff and characters and fights I will never remember that don't do anything to illustrate any point about a character I care about.
That's like half of One Piece.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not a big One Piece fan. I think it's very fluffy. And the same...
I think that's sort of the point.
I believe it's pronounced Luffy. That joke was not funny.
That
works better in writing.
I laughed. Okay. That is funny.
Thank you for laughing.
It's fine.
Please laugh.
It's fine, but it's not. If you enjoy just reading One Piece, like, there have been times where I read One Piece where, like, I think things are funny in the panels. Like, he makes every chapter worth reading with his art, but the writing leaves a lot to be desired in a lot of places.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of times where basically every time there's a time skip in a manga, that's an author correcting for something they've failed to move forward at the proper pace. They're just like, okay, I need a little reset.
Man, like, okay. You're going to throw down with, like, all manhwa fans.
I think anytime there is a time... Well, if it's a manhwa where, like, they go back in time or something and then skip ahead a little, that's fine. But if you... Or if you want to do a time skip to show, like, an epilogue, that's fine. But when you're writing Naruto and halfway through, you're just like, you know what? They're still 15.
Well, at least they
I gotta.
They moved that along, and they were like, "Okay, it's a new series now."
Yeah, but like anytime there's a time skip, I do feel like you kind of hit a wall, and you're like, "I could tell what happens in between this, but no one cares. Even I don't care."
Hmm. Yeah,
and that's kind of to me like maybe you started your story at the wrong spot.
How long does it have to be before you consider it a time skip?
I would say like
a year.
Depends.
I feel like I guess also true. It depends on the series.
If you're time skipping to bring them back with like new powers and new abilities and stuff that you don't feel like establishing because the whole thing would be boring. That's the time skip I'm talking about. If you're talking about like we're gonna meet up in a year to fight in the tournament, then the next chapter is it's been a year and they're fighting in the tournament. I think that's okay because I didn't want to see what happened during that year.
But they powered up during that year.
Yeah, I don't really care. I mean, but I also don't really care about... there's an anime trope that I hate of like somebody's learning something and learning something and learning something and then off screen they master it and you don't see it.
Mm.
And then they come back and they reveal it in the middle of the tournament.
So,
and it's like, well, I didn't need to see you not learn it then.
So but then it's the big surprise reveal.
I to me, it's just a cheesy way of building suspense without having to...
So you're not here yet. So you're not going to know what I'm talking about. But there's time skip in One Piece.
I've heard.
They go 3 years. It's 3 years, right?
I think it's 2 years.
Two. When they come back, they all have these fancy new powers.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I don't know if the manga does this, but in the anime, over the course of many, many episodes, they tell you what happened during that time.
Yeah, I don't need that.
The manga does that a little bit. Because in this case, like, got to defend One Piece here as the One Piece guy. Like, all of them are in, like, what? There's, like, however many... The One Piece crew, Luffy's crew is large, and they're all off in very different places doing very different things. And it gives it reason of, like, this is why they have this new power. And the anime probably takes a lot longer than the manga does to take it, but, like, I haven't read that part in a long time, if ever. That might have been when I was in this weird, like, wiki-diving portion of my ability to take in One Piece. But, like... Well, that one, and I guess more to One Piece's credit, it's not just the crew that moves, the entire world moves. Yeah. Literally every character you see now that you saw before has a new design, they might have a new power, they're doing something different, like, they're noticeably...
And see, I didn't mind that specifically because of the fact that they are telling you about what happened. So, instead of just going, they learned this off screen, they're like... They learned it off screen, but here's how it happened.
Here's the little peek in to see why. Yeah. Give me the why instead of just, he can do this now. And then you move on. Like,
well,
I feel like with One Piece where it's so world building-y that you would want that kind of thing. And I guess this brings me to a point I wanted to make to Ben's earlier point is that I feel like with that whole spectrum thing with filler, it's like what you care about in a series could dictate what you see as fluff or filler. Depending on what you're there for.
I actually, there's a really good example here because I think as much as we want to make fun of Dragon Ball and Naruto for the ridiculous filler that they have, they both hold no candle to Bleach, which has an entire season that is filler.
Is that the new one or is that a different one?
The new one is they went back and they were like, okay, we can actually make this now.
Okay.
So the... what was it called? Fulbring? Whatever the heck weird power they just made up for this filler is called.
I would also say Bleach is guilty of fluff.
Wow.
Bleach is guilty of a lot of fluff.
But here's the thing. I watched that season. I was fully aware at the time that it was completely made up. It was not from the source material. Lots of people were complaining about it. But I watched it and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you can do that. Like that's the thing on top of all of it. Filler is not always necessarily... bad, but there's a certain thing at the heart of it, which I keep going back to Ben's point. It's that when you spend time with something where you're just so explicitly told, we're never going to talk about this again. Literally all of your time spent here does not matter. It's hard to be told the thing you're watching doesn't count in a larger work that, quote unquote, count.
I think there's something where it depends how attached you are to that particular piece of media.
Well, I want to say, though, it's especially egregious in Spy Family, where if, like, every character interaction in Spy Family matters. Like, it always brings them closer together. Those are the bonding moments that you're there in Spy Family for. And Bleach, like you have room to do movies and stuff. Like, there have been My Hero movies. Like, I consider that it's not filler, because to me, filler is usually made to fill the gap between the production schedule of the anime and the available source material.
I mean, but I would basically say movies are, like, that's the, like, by my definition, movies are filler, because I saw the first My Hero one and nothing that happened in it ever mattered for anything else, and nobody ever talked about it, and no bonds, nothing changed. So it's like, unless I'm having a real good time with it, I mean, I don't watch them anymore because they don't count to a series that's very keen on making, constantly moving the ball forward or having new powers or new situations or something.
I think that's it, though, is like, are you having fun with it? So, like, for me, I watched that season of Bleach and I enjoyed it, and I'm not super attached to Bleach. It's just something I watched for entertainment. I never got, like, super into it or anything. And so when I consume that season and I enjoy it while I'm watching it, it doesn't mean anything when someone comes back. It doesn't mean anything to me when someone comes back and says, oh, we're going to keep making this. That season never happened.
Okay. I have a rebuttal to that and an example of it. And I feel like, maybe not a rebuttal, but like a refinement. And I think it's there's like a ratio of, I enjoyed this enough to overcome this quote unquote not counting. Mm-hmm. And at least with the My Hero one, I didn't. It was fine. But because it got those negative points of, like, in a series where a lot of stuff happens all the time that counts and will come up later, this won't.
Mm.
But then on the other side of that, or just an example of that, where that ratio can go the other way, and also a series where filler in canon is sort of a wibbly-wobbly concept, is like, there's 50 kabillion different loop on the third things. What's canon to any of it?
Yeah.
But if it's good enough, I'm going to want to go see it. And I think that's what a lot of these situations are, is that if filler is good enough, people don't care. But if it's fine, and it's not, if it's fine filler, people don't like it because it's just, it's fine and it's got that negative connotation of, well, this doesn't count, and this feels like, this isn't like blowing my socks off, so why would I spend time on this? This won't pay out later, and it's not paying me now, so why bother?
So my specific definition of filler is literally that it fills the gap between something and the intended product.
I think that's definitely a good technical definition.
Well, and the reason I wanted to use that one is because that's sort of the recipe for disaster that some of these things are the exception to. Like, when you want to continue to make your anime because you have advertisers who already bought that airtime, then you run out of source material, like the author gets sick or just doesn't perform, and you're stuck. You still need to fill that airtime. You're not going to put, like you didn't hire the best writers in the world to write these scripts because they were drawing from source materials. You're probably running out of animation budget by the because you're going to slot them in after you've already done everything important. So filler is usually a recipe to suck. And that's why it usually does wind up sucking.
I think it's why it has such a negative connotation from earlier generations. I think that's why you have the strongest definition and feeling of it, Ben, because you're the, like, most old anime steeped in learned of the three of us.
Yeah, and I think filler has gotten less cynical. They seem to have become more comfortable with taking breaks between seasons.
Mm. For most seasons, most series, I should say.
And I guess it depends. If you're going to hire a writer who can actually write, who's going to sit down and talk to the author and figure it out. Like, everybody making a Lupin the third movie now loves Monkey Punch and loved the old Lupin and really wants to make, like, the best Lupin-esque movie they can. And that's why all that stuff is usually pretty good, even though it doesn't have anything to do with Monkey Punch's writing. I think that's different than what filler is. And, like, So yeah, if you're going to hire somebody who is like Tatsuya Endo caliber to come in and write some simple little things like Anya, like the dog attacking her penguin and she learns to forgive and not be so quick to anger.
That was adorable.
Yeah. If you've got somebody who can come in and do that sort of thing where it's low consequence between a kid and an animal or between a kid and another kid, I think that's fine. If you're going
to
have
even like, oh, we're going to go to a theme park
or Twilight, and, like anybody can go on a mission. That's kind of the joy of how Spy Family is already written, is it's so easy to slide in like, oh, hey, Twilight, there's this art theft ring that you have to go infiltrate that like doesn't necessarily have to come up later, or like a reoccurring villain can pop up again, or like, hey, let's go follow the guy with the afro to go do something. And it's like there's just a lot of little threads that you can follow that you don't need to pay off to have a good time with Spy Family.
You could follow that teacher for like an episode.
Yeah, I could spend an episode of him just going around the school and we meet Elegante. That we could meet some students that are anime only, which is, I feel like, a completely different concept that fits in with all this, which I don't have enough knowledge of to do anything.
I think that would probably be the safest route, is new characters.
But not too many.
No. You don't want to flood it. You don't want to cheapen the brand.
You could follow the handler as she like gives other spies missions and they fail them. And she's like, ah, if only I had more Twilights.
Let me have an episode where we follow that really terrible spy that Twilight runs into when he's trying to break into the school. Cause like, I don't think we ever see him again. And I would love to see him again. He was a hoot.
But I think that's been the magic of Spy Family, is that they are able to continue to develop the characters. Because even at the end of that one with the spy we never see again, he chooses not to change Anya's grades back because she passed, but barely.
But I think if you do too much faffing about in Spy Family, that could be a problem. But like, I genuinely love spending time with these characters. I think the outros, the animation in the outros proves this point of just like, I would love to just spend time with these characters in the middle areas that we never see of, just like them putting dinner together and having dinner. And like, obviously that's not a whole episode, but I think that speaks to just spending time with these characters, even if they don't do necessarily anything world changing, so, is worth my time. The quality to meaningfulness ratio, or the interestingness to importance and being remembered later ratio.
So do you want filler or do you want like OVAs?
I mean, I don't usually get the choice. I don't think nobody ever chooses filler.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you're going to do it right, it sort of turns into what OVA used to be. I don't know if they still call them OVAs.
I don't think that's a thing anymore.
Yeah, there's a That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime has a bunch of those.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And like, they're sort of like bridges between seasons. And they're fun and they're cute and they're not in the source material. Maybe I only read the manga. But like, they make sense in context. And not one time while I was watching any of those did I stop and think, oh, this is filler. I'm not going to enjoy this.
I'm really resonating on what Ben said with like what filler used to be. It's just like we ran out of source material. And very specifically, we don't have a good writer and we don't have an animation budget. Yeah. So it's like literally in its very creation, it is a cheaper stock that it is made from. And I feel like now that's gotten such a connotation of negativity from then that it permeates to now, which is why when people use filler under a new definition, which I want to get into in a second so we can come up with a new word to it, I get pissed off because I see filler as this is subpar, made from bad stock. This is not good or worth my time.
I think that's the big reason I definitely wanted to talk about this, because the way that I see filler with this connotation of bad, and then I look at different series and go, well, this isn't bad and that's not bad. And that, like, I get that potentially 80 to 90% of filler in the past was bad, but it almost feels like we're losing something when we go in to watch something or read something with the thought of, oh, this is filler.
I don't, well, and I'd be clear, like, I don't hate filler. Like, my personal preference is if you don't want to make it, like, if you're not making it because you had an idea that you wanted to make, which I think OVAs and movies are, somebody had an idea. If you're doing it just to fulfill a financial obligation to advertisers, which happens less and less because advertisers on television are less and less important, I'd rather you just take a break, wait for the material to build back. Yeah. And I'm totally cool with that. Like, I don't want Spy Family to air regularly so much that I would want them to do filler, which is kind of what I was wondering if you guys were talking about when we started. Like, do we just want to keep it on the air every 6 months?
I think some of what brought us to that was, which, and I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast yet, of like, there's a big, many, many chapter spanning arc coming up. And I was like, that would be good as a movie, but there's too much to do before then. What if you made a mini season that was what was in the manga and you just kind of filled it out with some other things so you could fill up that space to go, could cleanly get to go watch the movie in theaters.
And you know what?
And if, some of that was hope, but
if,
you know.
If there were 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 12 OVAs, in case anybody doesn't know, Spy Family is my favorite thing ever. I would love for there to be more Spy Family, even if it's not something that's directly from the manga.
Yeah, like I said, as long as they really put in the effort. Because like, I didn't hate the My Hero movie. Mm. I didn't hate the Dragon Ball Z movies.
I don't hate it. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, they're not like my favorite.
It's not worth my time. It's fine.
When we went, did I watch the My Hero movie with you guys?
No.
Okay, I forget who I watched.
We watched the Jujutsu Kaisen movie. That's and we watched right. Lupin.
Yeah. When I went to see the My Hero movie in theaters, and it was a perfectly fine weekend. I mean, like, I had fun. I was a little old for that crowd, but you know, I don't mind that stuff. But yeah, filler, what I define as filler is that old contractual filler. Yeah, there's a reason it got that vibe, but like, fluff is a real problem. And like, and again, for me in Demon Slayer, it's like every named character having a tragic flashback.
Right before they die.
I get like empathy burnout. Like at some point, how many Japanese children starved last year in the woods? Like, come on, guys.
So I guess, and maybe it is fluff, but then what would you call, because I feel like I see filler used a lot in certain areas now, of just like, if it is not an episode that very clearly moves the football forward for what they see as the main plot line, it is filler.
You could just say bonus content.
Again, maybe this comes back to my point of what you view as important to the concept of taking in a show. And pardon me while I step slightly outside of anime realm. I know, scandalous. We've been releasing
this
my old podcast.
Pop culture talk zone.
I'm feeling too, yes, exactly. I'm feeling too empowered. But the thing that I was thinking about with filler with that was Steven Universe, which is admittedly very anime inspired. It has no source material. It just is. But a lot of people were like, anytime it's an episode that's not dealing with the bigger space plot and we're spending time with the Beach City people is filler and it doesn't matter. Mean, and I
we can ignore that, those people, right?
Okay, we're in agreement that that makes that burns my freaking blood, because it's like spending. I think that's more and more where it's just like main plot or bust. Where it's like, I think spending time with people is not filler, necessarily on its nose.
No, I agree with that, especially. I really think I would personally only use the term filler to apply to that which exists to fill in a gap between source material.
To fill time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think if you don't like that, I call it fluff. That's just a word I came across. But like, I'm sure there's a more technical writing word for...
Fluff works, I guess.
For just stuff that could be trimmed. If you think, like, on the book podcast I do... I very rarely come across a book that I could not, I don't think I could improve by making shorter. Most of the time when you write a first draft of something, you write a ton of stuff, cut out 25% and it'll be better. Like, just find a way to cut 25% and you'll make it better. And that's true of a lot of things. And with anime and manga especially, it becomes a problem when you're writing serialized fiction. Like, I criticized people for having to do age skips, but like, I know why they have to do it, because you're on a deadline week to week. You don't have time to go back and make sure, like, that's not really how I wanted to do that arc. That's going to lead to a dead end. You just have to push on.
Or I want to hit fast forward, but I can't physically write in time to get there. So I just want to be there.
Yeah. So like, while I don't think it's like peak performance necessarily all the time, I understand why, and I am sympathetic to that.
I I just had a thought. As everybody is aware, I consume copious amounts of manga.
Copious amounts of isekai, an almost dangerous amount.
I'm almost wondering if my acceptance of filler stems from the fact that I just want to consume things I enjoy.
Well, I think there is a certain amount of immaturity in the people saying things are filler, like with what Kermit's talking about. If you're a child, you're at least my experience with being a teen, which I call a child because I'm that old now.
Yeah.
I did not super value the meaningful character interactions.
Mm. Exactly.
But going back as an adult with a little bit more maturity, I do value that. And so calling something you don't like filler just because you don't like it is incorrect.
Okay, so here I'm gonna propose a term that I have made up that's in the vein of our thing. So we've got filler, which is the fill space, fluff that you could cut, which is somewhat dependent on how you feel about it. Mm. And I think off of that, I will call it fuzzy, which is, I think more specifically, like when you could just spend some time with characters, that this doesn't technically, like, you're not going to learn any new plot revelations, but sometimes it's just nice to spend time with characters.
Oh, yeah. I don't
know. That's when you get the warm fuzzies.
That's why I called it fuzzy, because it fit our naming convention. And it was like, I wanted to give, because fluff has that concept of it could be trimmed. And fuzzy is like, it's of that ilk, but it's got more of a positive connotation. Yeah. I go back to my, like, the Dragon Ball thing where it's like, Piccolo's getting his driver's license, or like Yamcha's playing baseball. It's like, those don't matter. And if they get called back later, it'll be somebody who saw that and thought it was fun and picks it back up. But those are like fun moments.
I also like that now because, you know, as we're watching a new show, we can go, is this one of the triple Fs?
Okay, so here's my question I've been sitting on, and now this whole episode, and now I have a word for it. What is a series that you either currently going on or that has already happened in the past that you wish had more, I'll just shorten it to fuzz in it. So fuzzy. Fuzzy moments, fuzzy time.
So besides Spy Family.
Besides Spy Family. Here, I can go first if you need an example.
Yeah.
To kind of grease the wheel.
I've got one.
Okay.
Wait, Ben, do you want to go?
Cowboy Bebop for me. 26 episodes, I don't think was enough for that.
Yeah.
But you don't need episodes.
But the ending,
but you're
was
asking for
right.
Episodes that don't deal with whatever the quote unquote main quote unquote
don't care
story,
about
the quote unquote line
just,
quote
needed,
unquote unquote.
Yeah, I don't care about the Syndicate and Vicious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They needed they needed like 4-5 more episodes of bounty hunting.
Just give me more futzing around.
Yeah.
Futzing.
That's futzin, that's a good one.
Futzing.
The fourth F. Or the third F. How many Fs?
Futzin is just like, they can just do whatever. I just want. Well, I guess fuzz. I'm gonna change fuzz to futzin. I don't know if futzin has a positive connotation to other people, but it's that, like,
neutral.
I just want to see these characters noodle around somewhere. Like, I don't really give a crap. Like, I just want to spend time with them.
I think Cowboy Bebop's a really
good
example.
Cowboy Bebop's really good for that.
The beginning is exactly what it needs to be, and the end is exactly what it needs to be. But the end is the end.
Yeah,
you can't have more.
Yeah, no. Give me another.
Futz in the middle.
Give me another 13 episodes. Another Yoko Kanno CD. I'd take it.
But yeah, I could see.
So
I could see
when
people
when they redo Cowboy Bebop, like they're redoing Trigon. We need two full seasons.
The only thing
of
I will say,
one.
I do like the new Trigon anime. I don't think that style would work for Cowboy Bebop.
No.
Vash can flail around like an
please.
Idiot, but Spike can't.
Oh my God, please don't make CGI Cowboy Bebop.
It'll happen, don't worry. We already got real live action. I know that doesn't count, but... So, my example of a show that I wish had more futzin is Jujutsu Kaisen. Because Jujutsu Kaisen is a show, and especially reading the manga then, where it's just... The world state is just constantly changing, almost too fast for me. There's too much... I don't want to say anti-filler because we just described it. I would say anti-fluff then, where it's just like things are constantly in motion. And especially watching the anime, I just want to hang out with these guys.
Right. And something
I just want to
really...
spend... When they played baseball, I could spend an entire episode more playing baseball. Like, hey, we're going to hang out. We're all spending a day at the amusement park. It has to have nothing to do with anything. But I love those characters and just want to joke around with them more.
Some of my favorite...
I want futzin.
Parts of Jujutsu Kaisen are when they're just going to go after one spirit or one curse.
Or they're just hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pacing is not filler. Like
letting it breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, it is good writing to decide to have a moment where Anya's penguin is chewed up by the dog. And not a lot of, like, a lesser writer probably couldn't pull that off.
Captain Pengi.
Pengi!
Penguin wa shinderu.
Oh no, Pengi's dead!
But, yeah, like, not every author could pull that off. That would have been bad pacing in something where they just wasted time with it. But having Anya learn a lesson, having...
Well, I feel like in a series like Spy Family, you don't really have to worry about pacing that much. Like, you have sort of these mini arcs that occur that might be a couple chapters. In the anime, they might be one or two or three episodes. And when you're not in one of those, you can basically do whatever you want because the world is set up that way.
But I don't think you can. But I don't think it's as easy as it might look.
You certainly wouldn't want that to happen indefinitely.
Well, the reason I say that is because, like, the reason that works is because on one level, it's a story about a child growing up a little bit. On another level, you have Lloyd fix the penguin, and then he, instead of telling her, here, it's fixed, which is what he might have done when he first became her father, he instead tells her that these are battle scars. He knows enough about her now to play into her interest in the show. Mm. He knows to make it a spy thing, and he knows exactly how to talk to her and that she needs to forgive Bond, and he cares about raising her. And so it gets a little bit of character progress from Lloyd, and that's what makes it work. And that's what makes all the Spy Family shorts work, in my opinion, is that there's a lot of anime for a long time did not have multi-dimensional characters that learned and grew in subtle ways.
Yeah.
Lloyd's father level has not increased by 1,000. He's demonstrating this to us as a human would.
It's not like he learns a particular skill, though. I could see it as like he fills a meter. We can just see him be better at being a dad in any number of ways. And unless he spends an episode, like multiple quote-unquote filler episodes, where he's just perfect dad all the time, as long as he just has a little moment that may or may not have been in the source material where he's just, oh, wait, I would have done this, but I'm going to try better to do this, I feel like you've satisfied the thing that we come to Spy Family for.
There's
technically showing growth, but he's showing growth in a thing that he's already shown that he is showing growth in.
And that's where I worried a little bit about, like, A, you need to get the right person to write it.
Yeah.
B, you need to make sure they're on the same page with Endo, that this isn't a beat he repeats later.
Or that it's a specific thing that would become a problem. Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, anything One Piece related, which it's like, if Oda doesn't touch this, like, this is... Like, One Piece is such a freaking spider's web, Pepe Silvia, of threads, that it's like, even it, like, there's a bunch of other anime that you could just take a step in and you'd be fine, but it's like, any, literally, words you use can be dangerous to what is actually, like, the canon.
Yeah.
And that's, like, One Piece more than anything, or it's just like, this is useless. Like, this is such a, every little detail that is hidden everywhere, especially now, it's just like, if this doesn't fit in, like, this doesn't help me. I'm at a time when I want, and maybe some of it's also time about when you're approaching it. Right now, One Piece isn't done yet. I am hungry for every little detail and morsel I can get my little grubby hands on, and if I consume something One Piece that's current, that isn't giving me anything, I get really crabby. Case in point, when I saw One Piece Red, and it didn't give me as much as I thought I was going to get when I was told it would. And it technically did, and I don't know that yet, but, like, that was a thing where I said, this isn't canon, this is filler, this didn't give me anything of the meal that I want to eat right now. And probably once One Piece is done, I could go back to it and go, I mean, I probably still wouldn't like it too much because it was mostly like an idol concert, and I'm not really a fan of those, but, like, I think some of it is also what you want at that time. And also some of us were edgy teenagers, and we can have moments of that where I'm like, I just want the main meal. I don't want to eat any of the salads or the side pieces, even though it's an important part of the meal. Like,
well, like I said, when I put Spy Family on the other podcast, and a lot of people liked it, but there were definitely teenagers who were there to see, like, either hot dad or hot mom fight bad guys, and they didn't get enough of that. And they gave it, you know, 3 or 4 stars out of 5. And 4 stars out of 5 isn't bad. And you can like it or not like it for whatever reason you want. But I do think, yeah, the kids probably grew up hearing people like me say filler, and they didn't fully understand.
They took the ball because they don't live in that anymore. Filler's not really a thing that we notice because things have a season and then they finish.
And words can change. If they want to call that stuff filler, they can. But I would say you don't know how bad it got.
I guess I'm both somebody who knows that I can't change language, that it's much bigger than me, but I'm also somebody that like wants words to describe things a lot of the time, where it's like, well, no, now you're using this to cover too wide of an area. We need 2 different words to cover what it was and what it is, but also I know I'm becoming older by the day, and I can't stop what people call things now.
Well, and there are times where, to be honest with you, I would prefer an adaptation that maybe didn't follow the source material so closely. Trigun. Not a big fan of the manga.
Is that filler? Is that, if that's not filler, then by your definition, the one I've now accepted, I like it because it's a clear and specific step away from the source material. And now we're getting into like a reboot territory.
Well, it's adaptation. For Trigun, it's adaptation. Also with an R. But like, if you were to say, I know they have Yasha Hime now. I haven't watched it, but I really liked Inuyasha. I really like a lot of Rumiko Takahashi's manga. She did Ranma, Maison Ikkoku, and all that stuff. Inuyasha is too damn long. It goes on way, way, way too long.
Inuyasha Kai?
In the manga, though, like it still goes on way too long. Dragon Ball in the manga, like all of Dragon Ball, including Z, is like maybe 500 chapters.
You say that like it's not that many.
Oh, maybe for a 500. For a show or for a manga that ran for like what?
Are you including Super in that?
No.
Okay.
No.
There is no manga that I read that is anywhere close to that long. Yeah.
Well, this
that's half of One Piece.
Like 8 to 10 years. I mean, he's doing that. That 500 chapters is like 500 weeks of his life.
And at least for Dragon Ball, it breezes past like a song. It moves around at it moves forward at a mighty, mighty quick clip.
But when you're sitting here with One Piece, I mean, Demon Slayer, I think, clocked in at like 350 chapters. My Hero is going to be well over 500.
Hunter is, I know, at around 400. I know it's not done, but I wouldn't hold your breath on that.
But God knows how long.
Running a long time.
This is what I worried about when we started doing heroin addiction, because this is going too long is the kiss of death in the romance genre.
You know, a lot of those manhwa, they end in a reasonable amount of time.
And yeah, because they know they need to. They're based on a novel that worked. I give them that. I was very happy with that. But Inuyasha was one of those ones where I think Rumiko Takahashi said in an interview, she could not have been more wrong about this. She wrote Ranma for girls and she wrote Inuyasha for boys. And I don't know if she knew any humans other than herself, but yeah, girls love Inuyasha. My sister, not a big anime person, loves Inuyasha and Mob, and she gets frustrated with Inuyasha going on so long. Like, as soon as they broke the Shikon jewel into like infinite shards, I was like, this is never going to end. And how long can you hear him scream Kagome and Inuyasha, Kagome, Inuyasha? We got Naraku, we got another shard of the Shikon jewel.
40 times per episode.
Yeah.
I think we're getting into a different topic altogether now. So
of it ran way too goddamn long.
I think I've got some other pieces for a future episode. So
but none of it was, none of it was filler.
Tying this up?
No. Well,
exactly.
It was filler because Inuyasha, the anime, just gave up.
Mm.
They ran out of money and they did the Bleach thing. They came back later with the final season. We're like, okay. But yeah.
Let's put a pin in that topic later because that definitely fits into some other things I've been thinking of. But any final words on fluff, filler, and futzen?
I, you know, as we always tend to end up with, you know, conscious consumption, right? I think it's important for people to understand that just because there's, you know, something strays from the source material, or even when, you know, the original author is involved or whatever that is, doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. And it also doesn't mean that you need to consume it at all. Like, you know, if that's a thing that you have a problem with, not a big deal. You know, let other people enjoy it if other people enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess my final thought would be, if what does the word filler mean to the people who accuse things of being filler?
Yeah.
Is if you feel like it's just gone on too long and you call that filler, okay. I mean, that's probably a generational divide there. I wouldn't understand what you meant, and maybe be aware of that when you're commenting that we're not all on the same page on this topic.
We're old and have old definitions of things.
I remember the days when you had to watch anime on Adult Swim or sometimes on Stars. Gunsmith Cats was on Stars. Yeah.
Okay, I guess one, hopefully short, don't want to get into it too deep. What in your head of the definition we gave for filler, what is like the crystallized example of filler? Because I have, anytime I think about filler.
Before you said it, I was thinking
there are
of
three words.
Oh no.
Do you already know what it is? I've never even seen it. I've always heard about it as like, this is the example that was always brought up when filler was discussed.
I'm not sure, but I might.
It's the Great Tea Race from Naruto. Yeah.
Didn't make it that far.
Naruto. Never seen it. Didn't even get that far, but that was always what I heard when people talked smack on filler. That was always what came up specifically was the Great Tea Race.
You know, I talk
no idea what happens in it.
I talk about how Bleach has an entire season that's filler, but like Naruto has enough episodes that are filler in all of its seasons to be more than a season worth of filler.
I've consumed Naruto exclusively through Linkin Park anime music videos.
Smart move.
That's
my
a good
dude.
Way to do it. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that goes right back to it. Like some of it was bad, some of it was fine. Like, you know, they're all independent things. You can't make blanket statements, you know?
It won't stop me, but I'll try.
But, I mean, some of it was real bad.
Exactly.
So as we were preparing for this episode and, you know, we've been having sort of smaller conversations about filler and what makes filler, what could be filler, where it would work, I started having these thoughts and I came up with a new thesis that I want to run past you guys.
I love theses. Thesi? Thes.
As a sensei. It's important for me to continually have new theses.
Theses.
So, my thought is, there are many, many genres of manga and anime, right?
Yeah.
And when you have these television schedules that, you know, these Japanese TV channels have, where they have all of these time slots that they need to fill, right? And so what they do is they look around and they go, you know, does anybody have some nice, good, original ideas they want to make in anime? People present those. And then they go through those and they're like, okay, we still got some these time slots that we need to fill. And so what do? They go to the manga and they go, are there any good manga that we could make into an anime? Okay, here's one, here's one, here's one. And they go, they start filling that up. And they go, okay, now we've gone through all of that. We still have time slots left. What are we going to do to fill these time slots? And you know what they do?
They film the third installation of the My Hero Academia stage musical.
I don't think that's it, Ben. I don't think so.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I know. I do want to watch that then before we leave if we have time. Because I started watching it a little bit and it was precious.
So what they do is then they go and they grab the isekai manga. And so I think what's happening...
And forbidden well.
They came for the original ideas and I didn't say anything. And then they came for the popular series and I still didn't think anything. And then they came for the isekais.
And there was no one left to speak for me.
And yes, exactly.
I think...
I mean, there were people left, but they
didn't. I'm really sorry for using a thing that was about the Holocaust in World War II to make a joke about this, but it just felt very fitting.
What is it, 21 years before you can make a joke about something?
You don't need to bring math into this.
Anyway, so my new thesis boils down to the fact that I think that isekai is the filler of anime.
Sold. Yeah,
What do you? What did you expect?
I won't debate that point.
I don't think anybody's really put it into words before. So.
No, I appreciate that. As somebody who also had my own revelation of myself, and like, oh, if you just stating it made sense of me being a jock weeb, which feels very fitting this topic, where I'm like, yeah, it's isekai. It's a thing. I mean, it's junk food. I've called it junk food before.
I really had to. Stop myself when you asked me earlier if I could pick up your food for you to stop myself from going, if I don't, are you going to take my lunch money?
But no, yeah, it's dumb crap for nerds.
I think...
I'm sorry.
There's also...
You invited just the ability for both of us to hang up on you willingly. You've asked us.
I have no shame.
I know. I respect that in you. I don't know how you do it.
I think there's a corollary there where isekai manga is also somewhat could be considered filler. There's just so much of it. And I think there's good and bad, because the good... for me, at least, is that it gets made. I enjoy most of it. Most of it's not good, but I still enjoy it. But the problem I have is that because there's so much of it, and because so much of it is bad, when you get to a point where a good isekai is getting a manga, getting an anime adaptation, you have this preconceived notion. You know, people see it and they go, oh, it's just another isekai. That's just to fill time, right?
It's another one thrown on the pile.
You know, sometimes it happens that you get the good isekai manga and they make the anime and it's like phoned in. The anime is filler even though the manga isn't. And that's just disappointing.
As a horror fan, I can sympathize. Because we've been having this problem with the Oscars for a very long time. Occasionally, horror movies are good.
Occasionally.
Yes.
Once in a blue moon.
But I don't think we've won since like Rosemary's Baby.
There's probably a horror movie called Once in a Blue Moon.
But yeah. No, I am a fan of a genre that is considered trash by many. So I get that.
I think when it happens that you have a good manga, a good series there, and then they translate it into a mediocre or bad anime, it's so much more upsetting. Like, it would have been better if you just didn't make it at all, you know?
I'd rather you didn't try at
Why all. Did you give me hope?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've been there. I mean, it might happen with one of our manga that becomes an anime that, like, we even had a bad adaption of things that we started reading then. But, like, it could happen.
I mean...
we've, like, done collectively, but, like, I know the amount of hope that we placed on, I mean, I know they're not isekai, but the amount of hope we placed on like Spy Family and Chainsaw Man to deliver was big. And I know, you know, when they finally get around to making a Sakamoto Days anime, like I'm going to be banking on that a lot, and I probably shouldn't, but I don't know that.
I mean,
this is my thing that I say about a lot of things. When there is a manga you like, it's not that well known. People don't read manga as much as they watch anime. Mm-hmm. So this is your chance. Maybe this is my approach and you can speak to your thing. This is a chance for your baby to get out into the world, that everybody gets to meet your baby.
Yeah.
And see how just incredible and amazing they are.
And that's exactly it. And you know,
and when they come out just malformed and you go, "No, they're better than this. I swear." And it's an emotional blow.
We talked about it a little bit, and this wasn't something that was like, oh, this is horrible, how could this happen? But the Faraway Paladin anime, you know, I really, really liked that manga, and the anime came out, and it was like, guys, I want to share this with you because this is great.
You were really jazzed.
And we start watching it, and it's like, this is very mediocre.
It's very fine, which is not good, because fine is... gray. It's fine.
It was just disappointing.
And, yeah.
You know, even though I can't look at it and go, oh, it's bad. It wasn't bad.
No.
But it's disappointing because
it's not good.
Didn't give you what you were expecting from the good source material.
It didn't give you the same feeling you got when you were reading it. Right. It is the thing that I fear for Frieren, that it will not get what made Frieren good, what gave Frieren its vibe. But also, it could get it. It could get it more than even the manga got it.
Yeah, like it's
such a
amazing.
It feels like such a gamble, depending on who's in charge of it, how much time do they have, how much money do they have, sometimes even a small gamble can pay out big. You don't know.
You'd think that they would spend money on Frieren because
I don't know.
The manga is incredibly well reviewed.
Is it popular? Are there numbers? Because usually it's about the numbers.
So there is a thing with Faraway Paladin. Like, first off, if I were to build Frieren on a budget, I'd invest heavily in music.
Mm-hmm.
If Frieren had a banging soundtrack,
and
that would
painters
that would
paint the back.
Yeah,
I would actually. I would spend it in like watercolors.
Yeah, you don't need to animate a ton of Frieren.
Right.
But yeah,
the vibe. Yeah. So they don't
if Frieren, if the battles in Frieren are like
whatever.
Yeah, I'm
nothing.
Fine with
then
that.
It's like don't, okay, whatever.
If they
the battles aren't
if
there,
they spend a good chunk of their budgets on the fights, they got it
right.
They misunderstood it and got it wrong, or maybe not that they got it wrong, but they tried to make it into something that it's not to appeal for popularity, which it's never going to find it because it wasn't built to do that.
Right. It needs
not,
to
I mean,
do
not to be popular. It's built to be popular because it's good.
It needs to do something similar to Ranking of Kings.
Yeah, it needs to be like warm.
The backgrounds were amazing. And the sound design, except for Boji, was amazing. Mm-hmm. And like the voice acting was really good, except for Boji. And now, Ranking of Kings, they did spend a lot of time on the fights, but like...
Well, they just spent a lot of time on the animation. I don't think Frieren needs that much.
But that's Ranking of Kings has such a different character design style than anything else.
Yeah.
That you can sort of do that and not really be too concerned about it because things can stretch and move in different ways that normal character design doesn't do. But for Frieren, if they come out and you've got, 2-minute fights every 3 episodes, like you have gotten the point. Like you don't have to have fight scenes that are just pure Sakuga front to back. That's not the point of the series.
No. Frieren is a vibe.
Yeah.
And I fear it's going to come out generic because it looks generic on the surface, but it's just got a cozy,
and if that happens,
curled up with a book vibe.
Right. If that happens, if it's generic when it comes out, that means whoever was working on it didn't get it.
Didn't get it or was not allowed to make it.
And you have to have,
what it should be.
You have to have a director that gets it. And I feel like you got to work closely with the author, and you have to have that director that understands what you're doing. You're not just making something.
But it's not always the director. Like this is you're not. I mean, that's why I keep bringing up. I don't think you're bringing into account money, because a lot of the times it's like we're going to make this because this looks like it's a popular thing, or we're going to tweak this so it looks like the things that are popular that do
but
make money.
You would hope then
things can get
that those executives who care about that money would go.
We
want this to
make
money, so we're going
to
get
look like the popular thing.
We're going
to
get the director that's going to do this right because that will make us money.
Well, if you're talking about
filler, bottom of the barrel,
Faraway Paladin, I mean, that had a journey. Like, there's a pipeline of stuff to like. There's a whole machine that produces your Faraway Paladins.
Yeah,
and that's the.
That's why they're so far away. It's a faraway machine.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of novel writing websites in Japan where people can just sign up, write their novels like one chapter at a time, share it with other people. It's like fan fiction sites in the US. We even probably have these sites, but that's where a lot of these light novels come from. And with Faraway Paladin, it was this guy put Faraway Paladin up there as like a hobby thing. It got picked up by Overlap, which is another cog in the machine. It's a publisher that just they buy up these light novels, they pair them with an artist, they churn out a manga, they try to get the manga made into an anime, and just make money off of all the merch and the sales. And so, yeah, I think Faraway Paladin was kind of doomed from the start to that, to a not A-list anime.
It is, as you said at the start of the segment, Brad, filler. And that's a bummer because it's...
Right.
It the, deserves more, it, but it's not exactly. going
to
get it.
Because if you read the manga and, you know, to some extent, probably the light novel, we might, you know, get into that at some point. There's enough there. The manga isn't necessarily drawn in the best style or anything like that, but like
gets like, better.
It does. The characters and the story and everything is there that could translate into a really good anime, and they just didn't do it.
Yeah, I think the people who bought the license probably bought the license for everything when they picked up the light novel. Mm. Because this guy did not plan to, he didn't go in to sell a novel. He just went in as a hobbyist, and his novel got upvoted on the website enough that they picked it up. And I've read all the light novels, and he rewrote the light novels from what's on the web as far as I can. He talks about it a little bit, but yeah, I think there's just that cog in the machine where the overlap publisher also has a online comic magazine called Comic Gardo, which is probably where a lot of these isekais wind up, where they just find an artist. And the art's usually subpar because it's a cheap artist also trying to get work. And I think this is all done like... I don't know the financials, and believe me, I looked when I wrote my whole big blog post on Faraway Paladin, but I don't think they get paid a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that's the same thing. I'm guessing they made the best anime that they could make, but it probably shouldn't be with them.
Yeah.
Isekai is the guts of the machine, and that's why it's, as you described, the time filler.
So what's interesting is...
It's the cookie metaphor.
There, you know, as much manga as I consume, I obviously have lots and lots of overlap with anime, especially these new anime that are coming out. I'd say at least two new series every season is an isekai.
A minimum.
And
minimum
two. Almost every single one is a manga adaptation. It's gotten to the point where I will put these on my watch list and then just never watch them because 80% of the time, it's just going to be a regurgitation of the manga and not add anything to it. And so it's like, maybe I'll come back to this and watch it at some point. But right now, I'm not going to get anything out of it. It's not going to do anything
for me.
There's
no nutritional value from these factory-like cookies.
Oh, I will consume stuff with no nutritional value.
Okay.
This is like...
Bland flavor. Bland flavor?
Yeah. It's like...
This is the assembly line cookies. This is not homemade. They're not basic. It doesn't matter. These are churn them off the line.
So
they're not great. Just get it out. Just get it out in the world and sell it.
Basically, what happens is you've got all these isekai manga that I'm consuming that you could consider, you know, generic factory-made cookies.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of Oreos, right? And there's like... Okay. 500 different flavors of Oreos, right?
You can have factory made. There's also junk food, and that's like a Venn diagram,
yeah.
Just to be clear. So right. Like they can taste good. The way I'm describing it is no, that these are the bland ones, but they're everywhere.
No, but to what's happening is I'm eating all these Oreos.
Yeah.
I'm eating the mint, and I'm eating the pumpkin flavor, and I'm eating the candy cane flavor, all these different flavors. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I go back to the store, and I'm like, oh, here's the anime of this. It's just the regular Oreo, right? And I eat that, and I'm like, huh, okay. There's nothing here.
It doesn't capture. I don't know. I don't know how to make this metaphor work from the jump from manga to anime, which I feel like is something we need to think about. But yeah, it feels like it's somewhere in that translation, it just isn't what it's supposed
to be. And then every once in a while, I pick up that cookie, and it's a Hydrox, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
I would guess that most of the isekai stuff being made into anime is driven by algorithms. Yeah. Like, they're definitely going based on which light novels got the most upvoted on the fan sites.
Popular in a numerical sense.
Yeah, and we'll pitch you this amount of money to buy the license to your product. We don't even really care about the product. We didn't read it. Our algorithm said it's a good investment. So bring them on, pair them with a cheap artist. And I think, as is the case with Faraway Paladin, that artist was not the best. Probably wasn't going to get a lot of work at like a bigger, more established place. But they get better as they draw the series. Up into the point where, like, the most recent chapters look pretty decent. And then they make the anime if the manga does the right numbers on their website.
Right.
And I'm sure there is a spreadsheet, knowing Japan, telling them exactly how much they can spend on the anime.
I'll tell you what, though. Every once in a while, because for the most part, the isekais that are getting anime adaptations are definitely like the most popular ones.
Yeah, exactly.
At some point in the past year or two, right? What I have noticed is that every once in a while, they'll announce a new anime coming out, and it's an isekai, and it's one I've read, and I stop for a moment and I go, that's a bad one. That's not one of the good isekai.
Is it popular? Does it do number?
I mean, I'm sure
people can hate it. If it do number, that's all the algorithm cares about.
It does sub numbers, but then you look at what else they could have picked from and you go like, why did you pick this?
Maybe those guys held out.
Does it do numbers in Japan or does it do numbers on manga decks? That's a good
question, because
that's
also true.
But those are the kind of things where when I think about this idea of like, oh, isekai is filler of manga and anime, those are the ones that I really go, here is your proof. Because they literally just like, were like, what are we going to put on TV? Root around in the barrel. Here's one.
Here's the bare minimum that we can do.
It's one of those genres that people like just because it's that genre, like horror, like romance.
It is horror movie, Ben. I was just thinking that. It's the, here's a thing we could make cheaply.
Yeah.
And we could just hit gold on one of them. So let's just keep making them. And one of them might blow up because they've blown up in the past sometimes. And they're kind of inexpensive to make.
Isekai is like it's found a modern base urge. Because that's what a lot of like romance is based around, you know, sex. Mm-hmm. And horror is based around thrill, violence, fight or flight. Yeah. And isekai is based around like the power fantasy, the comfortable the power fantasy. Yeah. And I think that's, I don't know. They almost churn out isekai like they churned out, have you ever heard of the competent man stereotype?
What is that?
That's like back in the like 20s, 30s, 40s, there were a ton of like comics and pulp novels about a man who was like trained to near perfection and also was a scientist and also was a rich guy, and he would go on adventures and rescue artifacts and stuff. It's like what Indiana Jones wound up being based on.
Adventure Brothers.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Indiana Jones. Quest, actually, but yeah.
James Bond.
Scrooge McDuck.
To an extent, actually.
Scrooge McDuck is actually like probably just the comic version of
the competent man.
He is the ultimate competent man.
Yeah, so, the one I was thinking of was Doc Savage, if anybody wants to look that up.
So these, you know, these men are going around and their lives are, you know, like a hurricane.
Okay.
Cut that shit out, my dude. Not in this house.
But yeah, I think it's that is like people connected with that because like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome to be that guy? It's basically isekai'd, but like,
It's just the genre of the time.
Yeah.
It will go in waves. And at some point, I will be free of this curse and something else will get popular that I'll end up probably hating even more because that's how getting older works.
Yep.
So just to sort of wrap that all up, there's, you know, I have the thesis. I think it's filler. I think we've come to an agreement on that. As with the first segment where we talked about, you know, just because it's filler doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. I think the same thing applies here.
I took a different meaning out of this, which is fitting to hey, listen to the recent release of Pop Culture Talk Zone, the capitalism took my baby away. In finding our definition of filler and why a bunch of these isekais are getting animated poorly, the corporate machine sees big number and they want to make money from, they want to make big money number from big number.
What a surprise.
That's why it happens. Filler happens because advertising, we need to keep making this thing even though it's artistically not available right now. No, make the thing. Number, number, number. Money, money, money. Capitalism, capitalism, capitalism.
That's, yeah. Kermit, is there anything in the mailbag?
Me. Guys, guys. Trucksound finally sent us a letter. I don't know how many months it's been. I know we've been like kind of corresponding, but like I've missed getting letters from this guy.
Toraku-san.
I mean, I don't even think I've read this. I was just really excited that it showed up. This one showed up. This one was actually on my bedstand. It came differently than how it's been showing up recently.
Is that two sheets?
Yes, this is his first more than one page letter. I mean, it's been a while. He's got a lot to catch up on.
Buckle up. Here we go.
I don't even know. Let's see if I can still get the voice. We'll find out.
You're walking here.
I forgot. I have to use my activate. I'm walking here. Dear, that time I got reincarnated in the same world as an anime podcaster host, Brad, Ben, and Carmen. It's so good to be writing you a letter again, my friends. As Carmen told you already, I am now isekai'd myself. Pretty funny, right? Except I'm not just some loser nerd. I'm motherfucking Trucksan, and I'm tougher than my Obasan's Christmas fruitcakes. I've been living the high life of this fantasy world. It's just like the old country. Grassy rolling hills, lovely little homes, friendly characters wishing you a good morning. Oh, and the food. I got me a lady that cooks like if God himself came down and was abroad and decided to shack up with yours truly. The wedding was a beautiful ceremony. I'll have to tell you about it another time, but I digress. Well, I did have a lady and all this wonderful fantasy life until this little brown-haired loser prick shows up and messes everything up. Chump comes into my little town with all his magic powers and dumb quests and ruins the place. Insults me, ruins my house, kills my dog, and steals my lady. We tried to show him a little Italian hospitality and was in huge, arrogant gobbledygook the whole time. I don't even know what he did to my wife. She told him to get out of the house, and he just stared into her eyes for a few seconds, and all of a sudden she starts following along behind him, joining a trail of other glassy-eyed women. Trucksman may be a bit rough around the edges, with a love for older times, but Trucksan respects a woman's right to choose and say no. And you know what's the worst part about all this? I recognized him too. Some punk I sent to the other world. I guess it was this one. I can't do anything about it. Yet, I'm not quite strong enough, but I'm working on it. That's why this letter took so long. I finally started learning the world's magic and sent this letter to you with it. Your podcast helped me keep me entertained while I'm trading and planning this schmuck's demise. I hear this episode's topic is filler. Interesting that he already knew before we recorded it, but I guess...
He must have access to the Google Docs.
That's just... He's our first true patron, so it makes sense that he'd have access to those.
He looks at him more than Ben does.
Yeah, he looks at him more than I do. That's Trucksan's the number one. I hear this episode's topic is filler. That's fitting, as I'm going to filler him with holes the next time I see him. Actually, I'm going to do one better. Death would be too nice for this little turd in a tracksuit. I'm going to resakai him. You read me right, resakai. I'm going to send him back to the world he's from, where he doesn't have any magic, or powers, or girls, or anything, and he's going to suffer a life of being a putz forever. That sounds like a great idea! Well, I've got to get back to trading. These muscles don't flex themselves. Wish me luck, friends. Yours truly, Trucksan.
Wow.
Ganbatte.
Well, I was going to say, I'm glad he's doing well, except... He's not anymore. That's not. Really unfortunate.
I mean, we heard he was doing well in that little, like, Italian-y village, but I guess an isekai hero ruined that.
Yeah. Ben.
Yes.
What do you think the proper term for resakai would be?
The proper term for resakai?
Yeah.
What, back to it? Wait, are we trying to find the Japanese words for it?
Well, sekai is world.
Yeah.
Isekai is other world.
Same world, original world.
Yeah.
Not
that we need to stop using resakai, because that's amazing.
That's the copyright.
But I am wondering what the actual term would be.
Isekai Rinasai?
What does that mean?
Like, so Okairi Nasai is, I think, sort of what you say is like, I mean, I'm mixing it up possibly, but I think it's what you say when it's like, go out and come back.
Oh.
Yeah.
When there's an exchange you do when you leave a Japanese house. It's like, Okairi Nasai. And then when you come back, you're like, Tadaima.
Tadaima. Wait, what's the person who's home? What do they say?
Oh, see, this, I always get mixed up. This is like one of my weakest points in Japanese.
It's a, I need it's to a, put you on the spot, bro.
It's a call response.
Yeah, it is.
Tadaima.
Okairi Nasai. I don't know. Mm. There's itekimasu.
That's for eating, right?
No, that's itekimasu is like I'm going.
Itadakimasu.
Itadakimasu is for eating.
Oh my Those gosh, sound very confusing. Similar.
Yeah.
So truck's on.
Somebody yeah. posted a thing.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he's, you know, going to do something about
it. He's plotting revenge.
So I hope by the next time we hear from him, he has revenged.
Revenge-a-kide.
Trucks on, if you're listening to this, which you probably are, good luck. We're all rooting for you.
Okairi Nasai is what you say when you come back, so my joke is still funny.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that a gambate? Do your best, trucks on. Gambate.
Gambate.
Ganbatte Toraku-san.
I appreciated that he called his grandma Oba-san. I was a big fan of that one.
The mixing of Italian and Japanese is certainly
poorly used Japanese is one of my favorite things about Truck-san and his wonderful way with words.
Buran no sponsoru de okori shimasu.
Are you a fan of Japanese snacks and treats? Then you'll love Sugoi Mart. They offer a wide variety of popular Japanese snacks, candy, drinks, and more, all delivered right to your door. Kermit, what was your favorite thing that we tried when Sugoi Mart sent us that box?
I really appreciated the Sakura Cola. It was a good time.
Yeah, both of those sodas were very good. Ben, did you have a favorite thing?
Sweet potato Kit Kats from Osaka.
Of course.
Loved it.
Nice. The Kit Kat variety pack, I think, is definitely probably the best value thing they have. It's a bit expensive, but you get a lot of Kit Kat in there. You get a
scary amount of Kit
Kat. I'm in the process of moving, but as soon as I've got my, I'm like at my new address full time, I am getting more of those Kit Kats.
Nice. Well, did you know that you can get 15% off of your first order?
How would I do that?
All you need to do is click the link in the description or at checkout, enter the code APR15.
Why, that sounds like anime podcaster reincarnation.
It does sound
15.
Like
15.
15. 15.
For that percent off.
So all of our listeners to the podcast can take advantage of that offer.
Sugoi desune.
Indeed. Desune, indeed.
Desune.
So just head to sugoimart.com and shop their selection of delicious Japanese snacks today. Kermit, what's it time for?
It's time for light novel, manga, anime, trifecta club.
Awesome.
Club.
Well, Ben really wanted to talk about this, as we all saw in the second segment. So, Ben, did you like the light novel for Faraway Paladin?
I did. And as has been the case with everything in my life, I think the book was better than all of it.
To clarify before we get into it, you have now consumed, at least a little bit, all three versions of Faraway Paladin. You've read some of the light novel, you've read some of the manga, you've watched some of the anime.
Now, the light novel is done, right?
No.
No, okay. Oh. But you have read everything that's out.
I've read everything that's out, and it has been on hiatus for like 5 years.
Oh. I don't think that's coming back.
It might be coming back.
The manga's still coming out.
He insists it is coming back.
Okay. Okay, George R.R. Martin.
Hey, he gets a break. This guy gets a break because he didn't try to do this.
I think he actually has a day job.
All of this was an accident.
Bless this man. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the author?
Yeah, let me make sure I don't mispronounce his name.
It's okay. Nobody cares that we get everybody's name wrong all the time. Not one That's person rude. Has commented on that this entire time. Everybody's comments are so nice. Like, what are we supposed to do?
You think I should just start being racist? Nobody wants to get people to yell at us.
No, not
being
no, not that far. I would expect.
Because if you want comments, we can get them. I'm not going to be comfortable with it, but I'll do it.
I would expect as many times as we've been factually incorrect that people would have like said something about it.
I think it speaks to our fan base that we don't have a bunch of well, actually's because you know those people can jump off a bridge.
I mean, yeah, but I'll engage with them.
This is the difference between us, my friend.
Well, I mean, we could just let ChatGPT do it now. But yeah, no. So the guy who wrote Faraway Paladin is Kanata Yanagino. And I always get him confused with the person who illustrates it because both of their names are on the cover. The person who illustrates it is Kusasaga Rin.
Now, is that illustrates the pictures in the light novel?
In the light novel. Okay.
But and not the artist of the manga. No.
Yeah, I don't know who the artist
is. Just a random Yahoo who has a name, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't know who the artist of the manga is. I initially was pretty unimpressed with their art. It's competent from the get-go, but it's not very good. I did a blog post where I think I compared all three in like a 9-page blog.
Yeah, it was good.
And my criteria for whether or not enough effort has been put into a panel is how quickly can I Photoshop a Dairy Queen into the background?
Yeah, that was pretty entertaining.
I don't remember that. That's incredible.
I did that with a lot of shots from Faraway Paladin. Yeah. Some of them have backgrounds.
I actually don't. After I read that blog post, I started paying a little bit more attention. In these more recent chapters of the manga that have come out, the backgrounds are very intricate.
Yeah, no, I don't know if he got an assistant or if he just got some more time or
yeah, so now you just have to put the Dairy Queen sign sort of out in the distance.
Well, because it was literally simple as like throwing it into Photoshop magic wand tool because it's nothing but white space, Dairy Queen. And I did that with like so many of the panels. It was so easy. 30 seconds, if you were wondering.
I feel like that's a blog all its own is just different manga that you Photoshop a panel. And, here's Anya at Dairy Queen. Here's Sakamoto at Dairy Queen.
You
here's
did promise.
Akane from Akane Banashi at Dairy Queen.
You did promise you were going to do that, and I haven't seen it since then.
Oh, which who do you want to see Dairy Queen?
All of them.
Maybe I'll start.
Okay.
Gotta queen them.
All new manga reviews should have the Dairy Queen section.
I will have a Dairy Queen test in all new manga reviews. I make that promise. But yeah. Yanagino, he is, from what I can tell, does not give a lot of information out about himself, and I totally understand that, but he was interested in writing for a long time. There was a friend of his who achieved some success who sort of inspired him to finally give it a shot, so he banged out most of Volume 1 of A Faraway Paladin and posted it, and it wound up becoming very popular. He got a deal with Overlap, and they brought him into their publishing company where he rewrote portions of the original web novel, and that became the light novel that I read. I read it translated.
And now, did he stop the the web novel and just continue with the light novel?
I believe at some point he did. I think he got pretty far before he got picked up. Mm. I don't know if he got all the way to volume 5. So this is the other sketchy thing about the light novel is there are 5 books, but 4 volumes.
Huh?
So there is volume 1, volume 2, volume 3A, volume 3B, and volume 4.
Okay.
They call it volume 3 Primus and volume 3 Secondus.
Of course.
So light novels have kind of a, I want to say there's a certain number of words they usually have, or in his case, Japanese characters was how he wanted to measure his progress. But they don't usually go over like 250 pages. basically like Goosebumps for, you know, the 13 to 19 crowd.
It is called a light novel.
Yeah. No, and I've read a couple now.
Would you call a Goosebumps a dark novel because they're spooky? Hi, this is my input for this segment.
But yeah, so I don't know why he initially went on hiatus. I can tell you that if you're reading along in the manga, I think they are in the Rust Mountain arc right now.
Correct, at least from what I remember.
The light novels finish that arc.
Good.
And then they have a kind of wind down moment where the fourth, or the, yeah, volume four, book five, is a series of short stories with each of the characters called
The Silmarillion.
Wait a minute. So volume five is filler?
Yeah, interestingly enough, a lot of people...
I didn't even do that on purpose.
A lot of people actually have criticized it for that, and it's a good thing because...
Is it filler by your definition, Ben?
I did not think so, but I understand in this case why...
It's fuzzy.
It's fuzzy.
What was it?
Futsy.
Well, futsin is as a positive connotation. Yeah. Well, I guess in this case, no, it's futsing.
In this case, I consider it futsin.
You're spending time with people.
The Rust Mountain arc is almost in the printed pages I have, it's almost 400 pages.
Wow.
Which, big font, small books, not really 400 pages, but it's not 400 manuscript pages, I should say. But it's a long arc, and it has a lot of twists and turns. It introduces an element that doesn't change everything, but it adds a lot of context to all the stuff that came before. And I thought it was okay to take a minute and just kind of hang out and deal with that and like remember what he was fighting for and get back to the people a little bit.
Well, as we've already established in this episode, we have slightly different takes on filler.
What people
what is fluff?
Than most people.
What is fluff and what is futsin?
Yeah.
Yeah. What people didn't like about it, they thought it was fluff. I enjoyed the short stories, but they thought like, oh, he doesn't know where he's going with this. He didn't jump right into the next arc. He just did all these short stories. I didn't want short stories. I wanted, you know, real stories.
What's next?
Yeah. Because he includes extra short stories in these, light novels. And I think people are used to this kind of content being extra and so they were disappointed they had to pay for it.
I think I mentioned this before. Bonus content.
Yeah. But they were disappointed they had to pay for it. Like, this is not normally what they buy the novels for.
Yeah, except if you take 10 different pieces of bonus content and stick them all together, it can be
Yeah, but one I think thing. It's all of that ilk. As someone who admittedly likes that stuff in Faraway Paladin, where it's like, what's going on around the town? What's this guy up to? What are we doing over here? Let's have a little fun adventure over there. Like, once it got too long-term narrative, I felt like I got a little lost about what I liked about it.
Well,
but that's me personally. There you go with the exact opposite, where I felt like the main adventure was just distracting me from me having these like fun little chapter two long adventures and interactions that felt like they all kind of interconnected and not just like, we're on a boat, we're going to fight the dragon and the dwarves, boat, boat, boat.
So the way that the books are structured probably won't surprise you. It's that you're kind of reading his journal.
Oh, yeah.
He's writing about his experiences in the first person perspective. He says, I, and it's not clear who he's writing to. I think he's just sort of chronicling it for whoever. And there's a bit where the town of Torchlight that he founds, I think that's pretty early on.
Yeah, fairly early.
I don't think that's a huge spoiler to say if he establishes a town, but
it's far enough in, but yeah, I don't think it's.
Yeah. I mean, it's an isekai. Yeah. He gets money and does stuff with it, but
actually a pretty popular genre of isekai is town building.
Yeah. So he engages in a bit of that. And, one of their things is they make paper, and that's what he starts writing his journal on, which was a neat little aside.
That's cute.
What I compared, I have gone back and I have read all of the manga, but I have not watched all of the anime. So what I compared for my blog post was the point up to which he leaves and goes into the Beast Woods. So he completes all his training. He fights. He fights Stagnate, which I have problems with. And he saves his parents' souls, basically, and takes off. So I watched that in the anime. I read that in the manga. And then I read that in the light novel. And I wrote my big thing.
Compare and contrast.
Yeah.
So, in the light novel, like I said, you're basically reading his journal. So there is a lot of his inner monologue. And in my opinion, the absolute worst way you can adapt inner monologue is with voiceover. But at the same time, I didn't think the anime did a horrible job of it.
It sounded weird. The actual sound design of it was weird.
That was kind of my problem with it.
Yeah.
Was I think it should have just been a standard voiceover, or maybe he has like a slightly deeper voice like they do with in My Hero. There's a few moments where older Deku voices over. He's like, and that's how I became the best hero in the world. And that would have sufficed. The voice choice of having, I'm pretty sure that's a female voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that being a thing when we were first watching it, where it's like, this looks like and sounds like a woman. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this a female isekai protagonist?
No.
That didn't have any weird sexual tones to it. And then I was told very clearly, no.
So an interesting headcanon bit for me is I don't know how much, I'm sure this could be disproven, but I'm not sure how much Will talks about his previous life. I don't know.
Not much.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if he ever really talks about what gender he was.
He basically just says, I wasted my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's possible it was a female.
He could have been either, yeah. But not in a way that would have been that.
No, it's definitely not something they make a thing out of. But I was surprised how much the voice fit. Like, I watched the anime first because you suggested it. That's how I heard about the series. And reading the book, it was very easy to imagine it in that voice.
I think you'll find I recommended the manga first.
But I thought the voice worked. And
just to reiterate, because we did go over this when we talked about the anime on a previous episode, if you don't read manga, and I think after this we'll find if you don't read light novels, the anime is fine. It's still a good series. You should watch it if you're not going to read the light novel or the manga. But if you're into manga or novels at all, pick one of those.
Yeah.
I would say I did not. The early part of the manga is rough for me. Especially like the fight with Stagnate. I didn't really like that in the manga.
As someone who doesn't really care a whole lot about art, it was very easy for me to just sort of gloss past that because I think the story and like the characters and everything are really good.
So in my opinion, if you don't care about art, read the light novel. I mean,
yeah,
there you go. But I want to look at the pictures, says Brad.
Exactly. And I have someone who I get to explain books to me. So,
but they all do a pretty serviceable job. So there wasn't anything that was really cut. There wasn't anything that was adapted super poorly in any of them. There were things that I think maybe have a different tone in manga. And maybe that's because I'm used to reading certain tropes in manga versus certain tropes in novels. I know you guys mentioned that you thought there might be some romantic interest with the halfling.
I wanted to touch on that specifically because
I don't actually remember how I felt on it.
It's completely possible that I was just reading into things too much. But the interactions that they have in the manga, it wasn't anything overt. But I felt hints of like, oh, there's a connection here that they have that's different from everyone else.
There could be something here. There could also not be something here.
The way they would.
There's the possibility of something as opposed to nothing.
Yeah, like the facial expressions that they would have when they're conversing and maybe just seeing each other, interacting with other people or whatever, just gave me that feeling. And then you mentioned that like in light novel, that doesn't exist at all.
She's physically affectionate. She hugs him. She like jumps into his arms and stuff. But it's more to in the light novel, they stress that's more that she's tiny and childlike more than romantic. I don't know how it plays in the light novel. But I can tell you that there is a romantic angle to Faraway Paladin, and it's not that. The romantic angle does not come till the end of the Rust Mountain arc. So that's a slight spoiler, but
I hope the main character and the elf boy kiss.
I was surprised because I actually did sense more romantic tension between them in the light novel.
There's definitely.
I think I also got it in the manga, but in a very low key way that I felt like I was just bringing in my gay agenda.
You know what? I'm in for bi polycule. That's fine.
That's good.
Not in this one. There are times where I could say yes. I don't remember his name. Main character and elf teen guy, whatever.
They definitely have a Sam and Frodo style bond.
They have a chemistry.
Except it's much more.
They're both much more attractive, which makes you want them to get together.
No, it's a. what's it called? I don't know why I'm blanking on this. It's like where you like pick on each other.
But you like each
other? It's affectionate picking on each other.
Yeah.
Teasing and stuff. Yeah.
There's a lot of though, like somebody gets injured and they're like teary eyed trying to bring them back. Like there is plenty of true affection between them. And that's not a bad thing. Whether it's platonic or not.
I'm not saying it has to be romantic. I'm just saying I want it to be romantic.
they're two hot people who are really close and, often alone in the woods together. So who knows?
To quote my favorite post that was ever made about Beastars, I want to see the wolf comes the bunny. It was misspelled and I treasure it to this day.
But this was the first fiction light novel I ever read. I've read one other light novel, and it was a story of an anime screenwriter. It was her autobiography.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and that was actually my first exposure to light novels. I was surprised that they could be nonfiction. I was surprised that they weren't dumb. Sorry. I'll apologize for that misconception or prejudice.
I think that, is definitely a thing. When you sort of first hear about the concept of what this is, it's very easy to fall into that cognitive trap.
And when their names are the most just...
Well, yeah.
I'm the prince in this world, and oh no, my power level is off the charts.
A lot of them are super horny,
I'll read that manga.
I'm sure you already do.
Because that's the other problem. You go to the light novel section in Barnes & Noble, which I'm fascinated that it exists, but... They're really horny, a lot of them.
Does that surprise you?
No, but it gives you a certain, like when you see just a big titty anime girl on the cover of something, you're like, oh, this is going to be intellectually stimulating.
My judgment rating goes up by a factor of like 15 when I see it's like, is this a moe blob? Get out of here.
Yeah, but Faraway Paladin has really good illustration. Not a lot of it in the books, and it's obviously not meant to be in black and white. It becomes a little hard to parse when you're looking at it in black and white, but the stuff that's in color is really good.
Interesting. Okay. Next time I go to Barnes & Noble, I'll have to leaf through one and look at what things look like comparatively to the other two.
Yeah. In terms of the writing, I think the translation was kind of like, it was okay. It's tough for me to gauge like what was the translator's choice versus how it was written.
I can't believe you're not reading things in the original Japanese at this point.
Light novels.
How are you going to read five books in a meaningful time?
Light novels.
I mean, it'll take them
all. Do not have furigana. I will have you know, I took a test and I read at a first grade level in Japanese.
I'm proud of you, Ben.
How many years have you been studying it?
I'm going to put a two.
Seriously, I've been trying to read for 2 years. So, yeah, like I struggle with like Japanese fairy tales. So this would have been light novels. Don't use furigana if anybody cares.
Is that the like elementary school alphabet, because they made multiple alphabets for some reason?
No, furigana is when you write in kana above the kanji to say what it sounds like. And in light novels, the way that usually works is the first time a character is introduced, they use furigana, and then afterwards they don't, because they assume you're a little older. So it may be an unfamiliar character, but like one should be enough for you. And it's not for me. So I have a vocabulary deficit and a kanji deficit. So I'm working with that. But yeah, the language in the translation is like oftentimes super casual.
Mm.
And that's kind of Will's character, but also sometimes it's dumb.
Like when he's meeting with the bishop or whatever.
Yeah, when his dialogue is usually okay. His inner monologue is usually like, especially when he talks about modern things, he's like, oh yeah, it's usually like going to the 7-Eleven back home when you would get this, this, and this. And it's like, no, a halberd is nothing like when you went to the 7-Eleven back home, actually.
Do you think that's from the translation? Do you think they set up
a
Don Quixote's instead?
I really can't tell.
I mean, 7-Eleven is a Japanese company.
Also true, so. Yeah. There's also 7-Elevens in
Yakuza, think,
which is my case point.
I think that the translation is fine. I would have to go look at the original Japanese. I'm guessing it's probably like that in the original Japanese because I've read the author's Twitter in his Japanese, and I get about the same vibe. Not that he's dumb or a bad writer or anything, just...
That's his voice.
Yeah, it's a little more casual than I'm used to reading a fantasy novel in. Mm-hmm. And that's another part of it, because a lot of it is very stock standard fantasy novel with like the demons and my goblins and all that stuff. And so it's weird to see that perspective on it. But it's also cool. And it's weird to see what he cares about and what he's picked up from Western fantasy and how he works like the Japanese perspective into it. And I think Will's an interesting character. He's a compelling character. And it's the guy, as much as I make fun of his god names, his English is terrible. I'm going to say this. He tries, and I think he knows he has English speaking fans now, and he's made an effort to speak to them in English, which I think is really cool. Like if you message him on Twitter in English, he will try to message you back in English.
Nice.
But yeah, the gods' names are a mixture of references. There's like I want to say the mother is like Matre, and then there's Volt.
Yeah, Volt.
And Stagnate, which should be like, he's not Romanizing the names right, and that bothers me.
You know, I do like the name Stagnate because, like, as a god of undeath, that's actually like, it's spot on.
I think it's too on. It's spot on. I think it's too on the nose for what his theme
is. I think it's on the nose in an interesting way.
It should be Stagnus.
Maybe.
That's my problem with it.
Make it sound like a name instead of just like, you can see the, like, yeah. JoJo stand little brackets around it.
Like, Stagnate isn't a word we use very often.
Of the god names, Stagnate is not the one that makes the ones that make me roll eye the most, like Volt or what's the
Gracefield.
Gracefield's
the
worst.
You guys hate Gracefield the most.
I don't necessarily hate it, but it sounds weird.
What's the one, Whirl, whatever the wind one
Whirl.
Is?
Whirl, yeah.
I hate Whirl because it's like, what's his name? Whirl!
But it's it's spelled W H O L R E or something like that.
Whirl. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna hit it with the hard H.
I think the god names are bad.
But
Stagnus or Stagna or something like that would be better.
I like Stagnus because it's like Agnes, but Stagnus.
Stegosaurus.
Yeah. You can Romanize a name. Like when the Romans wrote about Odin, they called him Odinus. But That's a little...
Those silly Romans.
This is a language nerd thing, and I know no one cares.
A couple episodes, folks.
But it also doesn't take away from it. I got pretty used to Gracefield pretty quickly, and I actually think he did read a lot of European fantasy or mythic fiction, because there's a quality of that to the Faraway Paladin light novels that I might be the only person who takes this away from it, but like, I know we pick on isekai for being a power fantasy, but like, so is Beowulf.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so is the Saga of the Volsungs. So is like all this stuff. And I think Faraway Paladin channels that kind of nicely. And it's very light read. I mean, I sat down, I probably read each of these books in 6 hours.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I read most of them in a day, some of them 2 days, but I would say it's about 6 hours.
I have no concept of how long reading a book is supposed to take.
I can speed read a bit when I want to. A comfortable pace for me is like 20 to 40 pages an hour. So this was faster than usual. 6 hours for that book is probably, I don't know, it's not too bad actually. But
I generally read between 30 and 50 chapters of manga a day. So,
but yeah, I was surprised how much I liked it. I was surprised what a quick read it was. And this is something I've been talking about. Like, it could be a larger topic when I read more light novels. And I've kind of been thinking about an episode for this podcast and for Words About Books on light novels, because we have YA fiction in America, and that's kind of what this is, would be leaning towards, but it's a little lighter than even that. Mm-hmm. I think
what do you mean by lighter?
The language is not meant to be super challenging. The length is not meant to be overwhelming. Part 3A and Part 3B could easily just be one novel. They would be a normal novel length if you combine them. He separated them because they were getting too long to be a light novel. So, like, this is basically meant to be read on a bus or in a commute.
It's the way that I consume manga.
They're basically set up like manga volumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're meant to be consumed in a very similar fashion.
Yeah, if you have 30 minutes to read, you will make significant progress on a light novel. I think more people would read if we had more of this. Mm-hmm. And getting it away from some of the stigma of what made it popular, unfortunately. As much as I pick on the big titty anime girl, the big titty anime girl flopped so that we could run. And
she pays the bill.
Yeah. It built that house, and now I kind of want to take it away from them and dress it up in fancy clothing that other people would actually read. But I definitely think there's a lot of people in America who want to write like this.
I think there's people online that write like this, because you describing it reminds me of years and years and years ago reading this like massive freaking My Little Pony Fallout crossover thing that got printed.
I've heard of that
in a book, and you describing what the light novels are reminds me of when I was reading that. It is a random person just writing a story piece by piece online, where it's not just like I wrote an entire book and here it is. It's just like, here's a chapter, and then you'll get the next chapter whenever I finish it, and it just sort of goes from there.
I kind of got this vibe, and I want to read more before I make a big statement about it, and I'd like to come back to this topic again in the future, but I was getting a vibe a little bit that this was kind of punk rock fiction. Mm. Like, punk rock is all power. Like, the old school punk rock shit. Musically, it's uncomplicated, simple power chords strummed as loud as you can with a screeching, maybe on pitch, maybe not singer. And it's cool. And it's fun. And it's like kids making art for kids. And I'm a big fan of punk, and this kind of reminded me of that in the sense that, like, there's a lot that could be better about this, but it's not pretentious. It's not charging a lot. It's not asking a lot of me. And I don't think it pretends to be anything other than what it is, which is a guy who wrote a novel for fun in his free time. And I like that. And I'm more forgiving of things in a light novel than I am in even like a YA fiction novel, simply because, yeah, you said light novel. So I expect it to be kind of light and dumb.
Yeah.
But there was enough to like hang your hat on with Faraway Paladin, though, because Will is like any of those great characters from any epic. Like, yeah, he's overpowered and everything, but he's out to help the little guy. And
well, and to be fair, there is progression there. So
he does feel like a little bit of a, wait, like you say, Ben, like a throwback hero. He doesn't just seem like some schmuck that's here. Like, he has his ideals feel stronger. It's a isekai in the fact that it charges him with purpose in this new world, and not just like, oh, I've got powers now. It's like, I'm going to not mess this one up. And like, that was a very refreshing thing for me, I remember, with it.
Well, and I don't know how far the anime gets, but he also builds up every person he meets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
And that's really refreshing too. And that's why I didn't hate the Torchlight players, or I forget what it's called. It's something like that. That's the collection of short stories that some people thought was filler. Is like he spends time with, I'm going to forget some names here, but he spends time with the elf guy. He spends time with the unfortunately named someone, the Penetrator.
Yes. Yeah, that like the second strongest dude
yeah.
that we know of.
I forget. His
name is very unfortunate.
Yeah, he's like the
chill dude.
The Aragorn character, but yeah. like he wants to get married to somebody.
Yep.
And Will has to help him, you know, be presentable, and you know, they have to basically like steal his bride and everything. And it's because her father can't agree for political reasons, but her father's basically like, I am leaving the door unlocked, and if she is not here, then perhaps I will assume you married her. yeah. So like, and there's a lot of cute moments like that. And I don't know. It's just cozy little novel. Yeah. I liked it. And as a novel, it gives you something that I feel like the anime doesn't, because there's just a million anime.
Yeah.
You could watch Spy Family. You could do that. But
there are many better choices to watch an anime of. Watch the Faraway Paladin anime if you definitely aren't going to read the manga or the light novel and you don't have anything better.
I think it's harder to make a cozy anime than it is to make a cozy book of any variety.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing is just the first person narration. It's tough for an adaptation to get around that.
That was definitely something it struggled with, the anime.
Because that was even something I noticed when I was watching the anime. I was like, this feels like a book.
Yep.
there's a lot of...
I got the same exact vibe, and that's why I agreed to Brad to try reading it. Yeah. And I did have a lot better time with it reading it.
But I would say if you're a person who doesn't read a lot, and anything about Faraway Paladin sounded interesting to you, and you would like to give reading a try, it's a very unintimidating experience. Mm. And, you know, I read it in 6 hours. You don't have to. If this is like a week-long thing for you or a month-long thing for you, then...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go nuts.
I mean, you consume so many books.
Well, I was going to say, the other thing is take your time, because I don't think the sixth one's coming out anytime soon.
Yeah. But I will let everybody know that they should get subscribed, because this is just the first of at least four... episodes where we are going to be talking about a series and its corresponding light novel, because I have tasked Ben.
I have not yet packed Overlord because I am going to read it nice. In the interim.
Yeah, so I guess we'll do Overlord first. So get subscribed for that.
We're going to do Overlord because the Faraway Paladin guy talks about Overlord on Twitter.
Nice.
So I want to know what's going on there.
So, yeah, that'll probably be like 3 months or something, because we got a lot of other stuff going on. But, yeah, get subscribed for that. Don't miss it. It's going to be a journey.
It'll be fun. I think I'm going to be a light novel apologist.
Yeah, here. I basically I basically said, Ben, read these three isekai that I like.
Yeah, as light novels. Brad got both of us Christmas presents that were work.
I would like to talk about light novels, but I'm not going to read them. You read them.
Exactly. I told you, I have someone who I get to read books for me.
Yep.
I even pay for it. So, thanks for listening to That Time I Got Reincarnated in the Same World as an Anime Podcaster. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoy recording. To find all of our social media links, such as our Twitters, Patreon, Facebook, and more, visit our website, animepodcasterreincarnation.com. You can also find articles and reviews about new manga releases up there. We'd love to hear from you on any of those social platforms, or you can leave a comment on the blog. You can even send us an email to isekaisenseisama@gmail.com. If you prefer to listen to our podcast in high-quality stereo, be sure to check out our YouTube channel, where we simul-release all of the episodes. Before we go, I want to remind you, you can check out Sugoi Mart, where you can get 15% off your order by using the link in the description or by using the code APR15 at checkout. Thanks again to Sugoi Mart. Once again, thanks for listening. And remember, in every world and in every timeline, your everyday life isn't just filler. So make the most of it.
I have a way. Do you have a way to get into the topic? Because
I prepared this.
Okay, then you can have it.
I forgot the topic, so this will all be new and exciting.
Well, that'll be fine until the last segment, which is very dependent on you.
Oh no, what did I do?
We're going to talk about the Faraway Paladin light novel.
Oh, we can do that.
Faraway Paladin in all its forms and the. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, but I really, really don't want you to ever use that ever again.
Well, what do you want me
to, do? Write with my brain and my hands?
Write the intros you've been writing, which is fine.
No, I haven't been writing intros. That's the problem.
Yeah, your intros have been fine.
No, there have not been intros.
It's the imperfections that made them so special.
Listen, you guys want to make fun of me for screwing up the intros? You get an AI intro.
Oh God, I will worship the ground you walk on if I never have to hear it. And AI's me can be so nervous and angry right now.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Intro is fine. It's just the, oh fuck, he's using the AI one. Oh no. He wasn't joking.
I used the AI to get me to a good spot, and then I rewrote it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've got AI trauma right now.
And now no one knows what it actually sounds like since I got interrupted 3 times.
Yeah. Okay, I'll keep my mouth shut.
I could recommend Jung Shi X, but I don't know if anybody but me is ever going to like it.
I mean, I didn't.
But I'm still into it. It's giving me mad Mr. Vampire vibes if you like old kung fu movies about Chinese vampires.
You had a blog post about that, right?
A blog post about that. I've been keeping up with it. I still like it. It's still probably because all the vampires look like those hopping vampires from those dumb kung fu movies, but
I mean, Ben, you've got your hopping vampires in old kung fu movies. I have my large and or cool women and furries, like, you know, glass houses and rocks and all that.
Yeah. I mean, other than the aesthetic, it's kind of generic shonen right now, but I wonder just how far they can extend that hopping vampire concept. I really want to see where they can go with it.
What happened?
I have not had coffee today. I have not had any. Yeah, this is the closest thing I could find to caffeine on my way here, and
you know, there's a Sheets right there.
Yeah, I could fall asleep.
You know, there's a Starbucks right there.
Oh no, we need you for the third segment, Ben.
I'll be here for it, but I'll be like real chill.
You'd be present.
Yeah, man. Like. Light novels.
Who's
man.
Even here, man?
Why is the paladin so far away?
What even is a light novel? Is it just like it doesn't weigh very much?
I mean, who's written a heavy novel, dude?
Dostoevsky.
That's heavy, bro.
I've been carrying all my books up and down 2 flights of stairs both ways.
We got to bring back the douche philosophy sound with the bells.
Yes.
Oh, I do actually have to find that because it's in.
Yeah, it shows up in those episodes.
In the next one. I actually, there's a clip in my files that's that specific thing.
Like, I made that. I don't think I have the original file.
It's not me. Just the sound. It's like the like he was started talking about it.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, bro.
Yeah, I was really happy with that one.
Yeah, the Buddhist chant. So I'm dying to know what the topic is.
I'm really proud of filler.
If we go on any longer, we'll be guilty of filler.
Yeah. So my closing question is, when did this discussion turn into filler?
Ooh, you decide, viewer, listener.
Well, like true crime had its boom and it's probably nearing its peak or something. I can't imagine it gets any bigger than this. I feel like we've reached peak true crime podcast at any rate.
Yeah.
Taking shots, I guess.
You probably shouldn't say that out loud.
I know. It's not a popular stance in the podcast community.
True crimed?
No, it's just in the podcast. In the indie podcast community, every single person is covering the Murdaugh trial right now.
Oh, I don't even know what that is, but you're probably right that there's like 50 kabillion true crime things.
Every time anything about any of those kind of like true crime things pops up on like my Reddit feed or whatever, I purposefully just do not look at it.
My wife,
I'm like, I don't want to know.
This is getting cut, right?
My wife is so into that shit. Like, she talks about it. Like, my wife and my mom. they talk about this stuff like, oh, have you heard about the blank case? Like it was a file that came across their desk, you know? And so I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I know all about that one. Like we went out to dinner for my birthday, and it was basically they went out to dinner for my birthday to talk about true crime.
Mom, I want to talk about horror.
I was fine. I was like, you two entertain each other so that it doesn't have to go through me for a change. That's definitely true. So I'm not terribly shocked that the man who let ChatGPT write his intro doesn't mind the isekai machine.
Sick burn, my dude.
You can cut it if you want. Well,
I don't think I've read any AI-generated isekai yet.
That you know.
I mean, that's the crazy thing.
It could generate an isekai so easy.
And you know what? I'd read it.
You're a part of the problem, my dude.
That's fine. Hey, enjoy what you enjoy. Mm-mm. Don't let anybody shame you.
No, there is. Hi, this shouldn't be in the podcast because this is me getting hot about things. AI is like making me really anxious and angry recently, so I'm like big not about it. I'm really worried about what it's going to do to, you know, the world and creative people jobs. And what corporations will do with this technology.
I agree with
you. And your swilling of trash is not going to help.
I agree with you to a certain extent. I think
until it impacts my ability to take in content, I'm with you. But as soon as I have to make a change for my morals, I could give less of a shit.
You know what you need to do? You need to go home and be like, ChatGPT, write me an isekai that combines that time I got reincarnated as a slime, yeah. Overlord.
Just write me an isekai where I'm the main character and I get this power.
No, here's the thing.
And it'll do it for you, and you'll go into the give up machine.
I think the ChatGPT can be a good tool.
Yes.
The problem is,
yes,
lots of people are not using it as a tool.
Correct.
They're using it as a source of knowledge. They're using it to spit out whatever.
Yeah.
You have to.
It is a content vomiter.
Right. In the same way that your computer in general is a tool.
Yes.
ChatGPT is a tool.
AI is a tool that I mistrust because
I
know the system.
I used it as a tool. I gave it some prompts. It gave me some things back. I took that and I made it my own thing because I have a hard time coming up with structure.
Even though your intros have been good, you just haven't been consistent with
them. Oh, have they been good?
Yes.
Coming from the two people who have told me time and time again, oh, you didn't come up with an intro?
You just have to say the same thing. That's how podcasts work.
Yes. So I needed something consistent to say, and I wanted to make sure it hit all of the points. So I asked ChatGPT. I said, here are all the points I want to hit. And it said, here's a structure for that.
Okay. It's your podcast. I'm fine. I can't stop you.
The end.
Let's move on before this gets more testy.
So I went entirely off script a lot there, but a lot of that was AI generated.
You're allowed to do AI generated for stuff that makes us money.
Oh yeah, I don't give. It already fits. I don't give two shits. This is one I've already accepted. I don't give two shits about. So the more boilerplate, it's possible. It's fine by me. As soon as you like tried to prompt one of us, I'm like, oh, I'm glad I remembered that cola. I did like that cola, admittedly.